Isaiah chapter number 6. I'm going to try to go through this quickly through the actual scripture here, because I want to bring you a message that I feel God's laid on my heart. Early in the week, the Lord spoke to me about preaching this message. This is just a pastoral message this morning. I'll try to step more into a teaching role, but I'll just leave that up to the Lord. I want to bring you a message this morning entitled, The Call of God. The Call of God in Isaiah chapter 6. Stand with me, please, as we reverence the Word of God. Isaiah chapter 6. I'll read these quickly. In the year that King Uzziah died, I saw also the Lord sitting upon a throne, high and lifted up, and his train filled the temple. Above it stood the seraphims. Each one had six wings. With twain he covered his feet. With twain he covered his face. With twain he covered his feet. I got mixed up there. Wings. And with twain he did fly. And one cried unto another and said, Holy, holy, holy is the Lord of hosts. The whole earth is full of his glory. And the posts of the door moved at the voice of him that cried, and the house was filled with smoke. Then said I, Woe is me, for I am undone, because I am a man of unclean lips, and I dwell in the midst of a people with unclean lips, for my eyes have seen the King, the Lord of hosts. Then flew one of the seraphims unto me, having a live coal in his hands, which he had taken off the tongs from the altar. And he laid it upon my mouth and said, Lo, this hath touched thy lips, and thine iniquity is taken away, and thy sin purged. And I also heard the voice of the Lord saying, Whom shall I send, and who will go for us? Then said I, Here am I, send me. And he said, Go, and tell this people, Hear ye indeed, but understand not, and see you indeed, but perceive not. Make the heart of this people fat, and make their ears heavy, and shut their eyes, lest they see with their eyes, and hear with their ears, and understand with their heart, and convert, and be healed. And then said I, Lord, how long? And he answered, Until the cities be wasted without inhabitant, and the houses without man, and the land be utterly desolate, and the Lord have removed men far away, and there be a great forsaking in the midst of the land. But yet in it shall be a tenth, and it shall return, and shall be eaten as a teal tree, and as an oak whose substance is in them. When they cast their leaves, so the holy seed shall be the substance thereof. Let's pray. Father, this morning, I pray as we read about your call, and as we study about the call of God, that you'd place your call on everyone in this building, Father. Whether it be a call to salvation, a call to separation, Lord, whether it be a call to service, I pray, Father, that you would all help us to attune our ears unto the voice of God. Father, I pray you'd speak to every heart that's in this auditorium, our visitors, our members alike, and Lord, help us to put up our spiritual antenna to hear your voice this morning, in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. You could be seated. Thank you for standing. In verse 1, Isaiah is going to get a vision here of God. I'm afraid that in our world today that many people are so consumed with themselves and so consumed with their own desires that they do not hear the voice of God even though it is speaking to them. We ought to be, number one, let me give you these in A's, attuned to the call. Isaiah gets, number one, in verse one, a glimpse of the Lord. In verse two, he gets a glimpse of his majesty. In verse three, he gets a glimpse of the holiness of God. In verse 4, he gets a glimpse of God's power. Now watch what happens in verse 5. Isaiah is getting a glimpse of God's power, his holiness, his majesty in all these verses, and all of a sudden Isaiah begins in verse 5 to see himself. Hey friend, if you ever get close to the Lord, God will reveal himself as holy. He'll reveal himself as majestic. He'll reveal himself as divine. But the revealing revealing of God in our lives will also reveal something about us, and we'll see ourselves as Isaiah saw himself undone. This was a prophet of God, and when he gets in the presence of God, he says, "Lord, have mercy, I am undone. I'm a man of unclean lips, and I dwell in amongst the people of unclean lips." So God gives him a vision of himself, and then he gives Isaiah a vision of himself. And Isaiah said, listen carefully, he said, "I'm a man of unclean lips," and he understands the call. But I want you to see something. He understands himself in verse 5, but in verse 6 and 7, he understands God's forgiveness. I'm going to tell you something, friend. When you get close to the power of God and the holiness of God, and God begins to speak to you and to call you, and you realize, as we all will in the presence of God, that we're undone, that we're dirty, that there's an unclean in His sight, even the stars are not pure in His sight, it will cause us to repent and turn from our sin, and we can then find, as Isaiah found in verse 6 and 7, that God is a forgiving God. If you're with us this morning and you're lost, you don't know Jesus Christ as your Savior, you can be saved this morning if you will but listen to the voice of God. His voice is a voice of compassion. His call is a call of forgiveness. And His character is that of mercy. God will have mercy on you and forgive your sin. Thank God. And so he sees, I want you to see this, I'm going back to the call of God. Isaiah understands and attunes himself after he's forgiven. He attunes himself to the voice of God. As your pastor, it is my duty to be attuned daily to the voice of God. That is one of the greatest things, and one of the things that I strive for the most is to daily hear the voice of God. Listen, it's not just on Sunday that I'm to be a preacher. Monday morning, God gave me this message this past Monday, and so I'm to be attuned to His voice. Listen, friend, if you're going to serve God today, you're going to have to be attuned to the voice of God. And so Isaiah is called here, and in verse 9, God said, verse 8, God said, "Who will go with us?" In verse 9, Isaiah said, "Lord, here I am, I, send me." He was attuned to the call, but he answered the call. And God was not, God did not force Isaiah. Watch this now. God did not force Isaiah. God just simply showed Isaiah a work and said, "There is a work that needs to be done. Who will do it?" Some people say that God just beat him over the head. God just put handcuffs on him, and God just drug him into His work. Hey, that's a lie. When God calls somebody, He's not going to... God does not have slaves. He has servants. There's a big difference in slaves and servants. God wants people to serve Him, motivated from a heart of love, compassion, and divine holiness. And God does not force labor on anybody. And so God shows Isaiah the work, and He says, "Who's going to go?" And Isaiah feels the call. He's attuned to the Spirit of God, and he said, "I will go." God, give us more people in the church today all across America who will attune their ears and their heart to the voice of God and say, "I see the work, I hear the call, and I will go." And so God calls him and says, "Go." In verse 10, we see there's the difficulty of the work. Isaiah is being sent to a people who will not listen. And sometimes people say, "Lord, I don't want to do your work. Nobody will listen. Nobody cares anymore." Hey, that does not take away the call of God. And so Isaiah is shown in verse 10 the difficulty of the work. Verse number 11, he's shown the length of the work. In verse number 12, he's shown the effectiveness of the work. In verse number 13, all is not in vain. God said, "I'm going to save a remnant." In the last verse, he said, "It shall be a tenth." One tenth. Do you realize that probably when you minister and when you answer the call of God, that one in ten may listen? One in ten? Billy Graham Evangelistic Ministries figured that one in ten people who came to his crusades got genuinely saved who made a profession. Isn't that something? And that was from the studies that went out. So God does not cover up, nor does he hide at times the difficulty nor the length of the call. Listen, I'm going to tell you something. God is calling everybody in this building this morning to do something for a purpose. And so the call of God, I want you to see that. I want to help you. This may take 2 Sundays to go through this. When God calls us to do something, we should not forget the nature of the one who calls us. The nature, now let me, I'll express on this several times. The nature of God when he calls us out of a divine nature. God is perfect in his ways, he's perfect in his thoughts, he's perfect in his will, and God calls us from a divine nature. Some people consider their own nature. Some people, the pulpits are full this morning of men in this country, of men whom their mama called. The pulpits are full of people this morning who did not hear the call of God. Maybe they heard the call of the preacher. I've had a few preachers try to call me to preach at times, but I wanted to be sure. Listen, I'm talking about the call of God is for everyone in this building, and we should be attuned to that call. The call of God is the expression of his nature. It's not the expression of our nature. Let me give you an example. God began calling me to preach. And I'm like, is this really God's voice calling me, or is this some internal, intrinsic nature of my own prompting me? That's a big decision. God's voice is not always audibly discernible. And so I began to ask people for advice, and a lot of people would give me, quote this verse, if a man desire the office of a bishop, he desires a good work. Well, I didn't desire it. I didn't desire the office of a bishop. And I'm like, well, that ain't no help to me. I'm trying to discern the voice of God calling me into a work. And so the Bible says, I kept running this scripture over. The Bible says, and no man taketh this honor to himself, but he that is called of God, as was Aaron. So I had to decide for myself. Is this God's voice? Is this the nature of God calling me, or is this my own nature? And so there's more than just a calling to preach. There's more. I said everybody in this building is called to do something. I'll show you scripture for that. We're not all called to preach. We're not all called to teach. We're not all called to be a deacon. But listen, there's a calling of God on everybody this morning. You may be called to pray. It may be your calling to give. It may be your calling to serve God in different ways. We need that. The military logistics is this for a battlefield. Every man that is on the front line fighting, there are 20 support personnel behind him. Did you get that? 20 support personnel behind every man on the front lines. Why, Pastor? Well, my goodness, they need food, they need water, they need ammunition. The logistics are great. If you don't have, most of you, I see a lot of men who we recognize as being in the military, and you guys know that without your supply chain, you can't hold the line. What are you saying, preacher? I'm saying in the house of God, we have a calling, and some people are just called to be support people. If God's calling you to support this church, then support it. And I'm not talking about money. That's part of it. That's part of it. But listen, this church needs more support than just money. We need people to pray. We need people to serve. There are things that need fixing. There are things that need doing. There are people who need business. Somebody needs a call. Be attuned to the call of God on your life. There are more callings. You say, I'm trying to help you discern the voice of God in your life. There are more callings in the world than one. You ever hear the statement, the call of the wild, the call of the mountains, I hear that call sometimes, and I slip away. Brother Jimmy, you was in the Navy, and a lot of men hear the call to the sea. A lot of men hear different calls. Some heard the call to the polar ice caps. I don't want to hear that call. There's a different call. But let me restate something. The call, these types of calls, is the expression of the nature from which it comes. And so God's call to us is coming from His nature. Let that sink in. God's call to us is an individual call. I cannot tell you, and I won't tell you, what God's calling you to do. I can help you with it. I can help you discern it. Other Christians might help you if you think God's call's on your life. Other Christians might help you discern what that might be if you need help. Some of us do at times. But we can never say God is definitely calling you to this. The only thing I can tell you this morning is if you're lost, God is calling you to salvation. I can tell you that for sure. For today is the day of salvation, and now is the accepted time. God's call to us is an individual call. The Lord has a vocation for us. Here's the Webster's Dictionary definition for a call. A strong inner impulse toward a particular course of action, especially when accompanied by the conviction of divine influence. You ever hear a prompting or feel a prompting to do something for the Lord? I hope you do. And I hope you're attuned to that call. So many people use excuses when they begin to hear God calling them or prompting them to do something. I can just hear them now. Well, I'm too old. Well, Moses was 80 when God called him. Well, I'm not gifted. I'm not talented. I don't have the abilities. Hey, listen. God called Moses, and Moses said, Lord, I stutter. God called Gideon and called him a mighty man of valor, and Gideon was hiding behind the wine press threshing wheat. He was a coward. God called different people in their inadequacy, and God equipped them for the job that He had for them. Don't say I'm too old, I'm not talented, I'm not gifted, I'm inadequate. I'm going to tell you something. Yes, you probably are in yourself, but you can do all things through Christ that strengthens you. If God employs you, please don't forget this. If God employs you for a job, God will equip you for a job. The old saying goes, if He'll bring you to it, He'll bring you through it. So the Lord has a vocation for all of us. And sometimes, how do I hear God's call? It's the threading of God's voice to me in some particular manner. A certain particular manner. God called Moses and he stuttered. Gideon and he was afraid. And, you know, if these guys were to look at themselves and say, Lord, look at me. You're calling me to do this, and I'm inadequate to do it. They would have never answered the call of God. And I'm looking at a people, and many of you, including myself, have made excuses for God. Sometimes the call of God on our life goes against our nature. Goes against our nature. Y'all might not believe this. I ain't lying this time. I'm really a reserved, quiet person. There's my wife shaking her head like this. I'll give you $5 after the service. Let me help you. If I looked at me internally, I wouldn't be here. I'd be on the mountain. I like solitude. I like quietness. You see what I'm saying? I It goes against my nature. Now, I love you. I come to church. I fellowship. I have a good time. But listen, that's my real nature is quietness and solitude. So wait a minute. What kind of pastor would I be? Probably not a very good one looking at me. But I hope that God's calling on me and God's equipping me is helping me to be a good pastor. Don't look at yourself to hear God's call. Look at the sound and listen to the sound of God's voice. How does this sound, preacher? It's a still, small voice. It's a prompting. You can't get away from God's call on your life. You can't get away. It won't go away. You can try to get away from it. You can try to run from it. But you cannot, if God is really, really prompting you and employing you into His service, and He is, you can't get away from it. So remember, God's call is not the echo of my nature. It's the echo of God's nature. It's not my strengths necessarily that God uses. It's His strength in me that He uses. If God were to use me at my strengths, then I would be tempted to take credit for what He's doing in my life. But God uses me and He equips me, so I give Him the glory. Believe me, I deserve none. Let's give Him the glory when He calls us. And let me give you an example. David was the king of Israel. David had built himself a cedar house, a nice house. And he looks out the window and he sees the house of God was still a tabernacle. In other words, they were still meeting in a tent. And David said, you know, here I sit dwelling in a sealed house, in a house of cedars, and the house of God is still enclosed in curtains. I'm going to build the house of God. Sounds like a pretty good calling, doesn't it? So he calls in the pastor, Nathan. And Nathan comes in and David says, you know what, Nathan? He said, I've been thinking about this and I want to talk to you about this because you're the man of God. And Nathan, I'm going to build a house of God. I'm going to build it beautiful. Look at me. I've got a palace and I want to build God a house. And Nathan said, boy, just do what all's in your heart, David. Nathan walks off and that night God speaks to Nathan and he said, Nathan, go tell David not to build me a house. That's not my calling of God. That's not my calling on his life. Nathan goes back to David and David says, I'm sorry. Nathan says, I'm sorry, David. That's not God's calling on your life. He does not want you to build him a house. But what was David doing? David began to gather the materials. It was not David's calling to build it, but it was David's calling to be that support personnel. The king in his nature, the king in his authority was brought to a level of support. Just support to bring in the materials, to start bringing in the wood and the gold and the fir trees and all the materials to build the house of God. And then David's son, Solomon, built the most beautiful temple for the Lord that has ever been on the face of planet Earth. You say, what are you talking about, Pastor? I'm talking about answering God's call on my life. Answering God's call on your life. Too many of us this morning are attuned to our own personal preferences. We're attuned to our own weaknesses, and we never hear the voice of God. Let me give you a few things and we'll close. To be brought into the obedience of God is at times alarming. To be brought into the obedience of God at times is amazing. To be brought into the obedience of God is at times will alter our lives. But it's also for assurance. God also gives us assurance in the call. The call to salvation. Let me give you three S's really quick. I'll close the message. We'll continue the message next week, Lord willing. The call to salvation. The Bible says in Psalm 51, the mighty God, even the Lord, hath spoken and called the earth from the rising of the sun to the going down of the same. The Bible says, if you're here this morning and you're lost, the Bible says the heavens declare the glory of God and the firmament sheweth His handiwork. Day unto day uttereth speech, night unto night. There is not a line where their voice is not heard. I can tell you, friend, this morning, if you don't know Jesus Christ as your Savior, His voice is calling you. There's the call to salvation, number one. Number two, there's the call to separation. 1 Thessalonians 4:7, for God hath not called us to uncleanness, but to holiness. If God called you, and He did most of you, and saved you, and placed His Spirit within inside of you, He did not call you to a life of sin. He did not call you to a life of dirty living. He called you to a life of holiness. A call not just to salvation, but a call to separation, and lastly, a call to service. 1 Thessalonians 2:12, the Bible says that you would walk worthy of God who hath called you into His kingdom and His glory. There's a call to salvation, a call to separation, and a call to service. I'll close with this. First of all, we're to be attuned to the call of God. We just went through that, took a whole message. Second of all, we're to be assured at the call. And I'll leave you with this because this is a really good place to get out of the message. Assured at the call. The Bible says in chapter 6, verse 1, in the year that King Uzziah died. Now, this is a national tragedy. This is not just a tragedy, a personal tragedy. This is not just an individual tragedy. This is a national tragedy. King Uzziah was one of the best kings who ever lived in the nation of Israel. The Bible says that King Uzziah did that which was right in the eyes of the Lord. And when he died, this was a national tragedy. Can I say this? I don't know why I'm ending here. But oftentimes, people like Uzziah who live their lives pleasing God, who live their lives with the call of God on their life, good people sometimes die. Sometimes good people who have attuned to the call, who've been amazed at the call, assured at the call, sometimes they leave us. And it leaves us, as it did Isaiah, with a question in his mind. Isaiah said, in the year that King Uzziah died, I saw the Lord. I remember several years ago, a young man came up to me. He was very angry, very bitter. He had dropped out of church. He had begun to use drugs. And he said, I was talking to him about the Lord, about his lifestyle. He prompted the conversation. He said, you know, he said, I used to be in church every Sunday. He said, as a matter of fact, I was in church every time the doors were open. My dad was a pastor. And he said, my dad was one of the finest men I ever knew. He said, he loved us. He was one of the best pastors. He pastored the church for nearly 50 years. He said, he was a good man in the community. He was kind. He was loving. But my dad got Alzheimer's a few years ago, and now he's gone. He said, I don't understand why God lets that happen. I said, listen, the Bible says that it is appointed unto a man once to die. And it doesn't matter if we're young, if we're old, if we've served God, or if we're lost, we're all going to die, folks. And I said, what you have to understand is while you're living, while you have opportunity, you have to serve God by listening to His voice and being attuned at His call. You see, in the year that King Uzziah died, he said, I saw the Lord. The earthly king had died, but the heavenly king was still on his throne. The earthly king had went to heaven from a hospital bed, if you read the script. But the heavenly king had never been moved from his authority. God help us to get a glimpse of the heavenly king. God help us to get a glimpse. So you know what God is doing here? He's saying to Isaiah, Isaiah, here's a work for you to do. Here's the difficulty of the work. Here's the length of the work. Here's the scope of the work. I want you to go. Don't pay attention to the earthly circumstances. Uzziah is dead. Uzziah is gone. Yes, there's a national tragedy in place. And this nation was soon to be destroyed that I'm preaching about in Israel. But God said, Isaiah, my call for you does not change and will not change. Now, let me say this to Grosses Creek Baptist Church. We're in the same position. Death may come, make inroads into our congregation. Sickness may come. The trials and the tribulations and the sufferings of this life may come. But it does not alter God's call on our lives. National tragedy may come. I suspect that it will. But that does not alter God's call on our lives. Let us say with Isaiah, in the year that King Uzziah died, I saw the Lord high and lifted up.